And we have this time the blind Bartimaeus pericope at the end of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. It's a shame that it is hard to see this in its literary setting in Mark, because it really provides a kind of a terminus for a section that began in 8 with the healing of the man who is blind, and it takes Jesus 2 tries. And then subsequent to that, we have the Bartimaeus incident. In between those are the revelations of Jesus as, at all three of them, of his suffering in the passion predictions. And it has been pointed out that, well, you don't want to go overboard on this kind of thing, that it seems as if those two healings of the blind indicate something like this. The first healing comes at the conclusion of Jesus' successful ministry, the ministry where he's doing the miraculous works and people say he has done all things well. Well, that's a way to look at him, but it's not a way to see him fully. When you do see him fully is when you see that his true mission and ministry is here in service and in suffering. And that kind of is given the stamp, so to speak, by the second healing, by blind Bartimaeus. This pericope also provides, if you're preaching on it, an interesting contrast to what comes previous. Namely, you have in 10:33 the passion prediction, and then we did this lesson last time. The disciples immediately ratchet up their bozo-dom and start arguing about whether or not they're going to be seated at the right hand and the left hand in the kingdom. And it's very interesting that Jesus ends that discussion in 45. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a lutron, a ransom, in the place of many. Quite a contrast to them. And then comes this particular pericope. So, and they are going into Jericho. Now comes the genitive absolute. Ek proiamenu autu apo Jericho, and ton matheton autu, and ochlu hikanu. So, what's the genitive absolute? It's quite a coordinated one here. As he was traveling out of Jericho, or out from Jericho, and his disciples, while they were, and a sufficient crowd. Now, hikanus means great, like polis, but it's not necessarily such a number orientation. I think it's sort of more general than that. This would be a good translation in English. You'd hear this in England every once in a while. Goodly, a goodly number, a goodly crowd, a decent-sized crowd, let's call it that. So while they were doing this, oh, and by the way, I should note, you know how it says here he goes into Jericho, and while he was coming out of Jericho, there is this argument, you know, that there were two Jerichos, and they were kind of built one on top of the other, and there was a way in which you could be going into one and out of the other sort of simultaneously. In other words, you're going into the inner one while you're going out of the outer one, something like that. So there's a textual problem there, but there's also some historical stuff that may explain a little bit of that. Anyway, the son of Timaeus, Bar-Timaeus. Hey, how about that? Bar is Ben, but in Aramaic. So the son of Timaeus, a blind prosaites, a blind beggar, he's aiteoing. He's asking for stuff. Ekatheta was sitting para the road at the side of the road, and they probably brought him to the road, so it's with the accusative. And upon hearing that, now you have to kick this tense back one because you're in indirect discourse in a secondary sequence. Don't you love that phrase? That's good. that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and to say, kradzo is yelling. Began to yell and to say, Hui et David, Yesu, son of David, Jesus, eleison me, have mercy on me. Now, while he's desperate, you notice that the command's in the aorist. Aorist imperative, because you do not use the insistent present stem when you're addressing God or a higher person. So, have mercy on me. Huia, by the way, is a vocative case because it's direct address. That's what that epsilon ending is doing there. Kai epetimon auto poloi, and many began to admonish him to be quiet. Hina siopese. All right, there's a hina clause there after epitimao that's functioning as an object clause. This is what they admonished him. Siopao means to be quiet, so that he be quiet. Epetimon, that's third person plural, imperfect indicative active of an ao contract verb. Hode, switching the subject in the conversation or in the setting, but he kept on crying, ekradze. Now, see, there's a perfect case where the imperfect can't mean was crying, but kept on, continued to cry, polo malon, more malon, polo by much, much more. This is the use of the dative as the measure of difference. So he cried out more, malon, and was it a lot more or a little more? Well, the measure of difference is in the dative, that's why that's polo. Much more, he began to cry out. Maybe we'd even want to say there. Much more, he began to cry out. Son of David, have mercy on me. Kai stas. Stas is an aorist participle, that's the strong or second aorist of histemi, you know, our obligatory form of histemi in every pericope. Stas is masculine singular nominative, aorist, second aorist, strong aorist active, and Jesus, upon standing, said, phonesita auton, call him. Kai phonousin ton tuflon legantos auto tharsai egaire phonaise. And they call, notice how they kind of get that into the present, kind of ratchet up the expectation here. And they call the blind man saying to him, take heart. Tharseo, eo contract verb, present, second person singular, present imperative active. Egaire, same thing. Generally, you would say egairu. We talked about this last time. You'd use the passive for an intransitive, rise up. But sometimes, just like we will sometimes say, I'm going to lay down instead of lie down, using the transitive rather than the intransitive. Greek did this too. Arise, phonai, he calls you. Hode, and he... don't take the ha with apa balon. the hodes, which is the subject. But he, having thrown away his cloak, flung away his cloak, anapedesas. That's from anapedao, which means to kind of spring up or leap up. So, and he, upon flinging off his cloak and springing up, having sprung up, he came to Jesus. Kai apokrithais auto ha Jesus aipen. Jesus answered and said, Ti soi thelais poieso. What do you desire for you that I do? That I do to you. I would take poieso as a subjunctive here, an aorist active subjunctive, as what shall I do, kind of indicating a deliberative kind of idea. Hode, tiflos, and the blind man said to him, Rabboni, Rabbi, hinna anablepso. Now, what's that hinna there? That hinna clause is another object clause assuming thelo. I desire that anablepso, I see again. Now, anablepo has two meanings. Has two meanings, kind of like our word cleave can mean to cling to or to split apart. So anablepo has the meaning of to look up or to regain sight or see again. So in this case, it would be the latter. What does he desire? That I see again. And Jesus said to him, Hypage, go. He pistis su sesokense. Your faith has saved you. Sesokense has two accents because se is enclitic. Sesoken, third singular, perfect indicative active. I'll come back to it. Kai oithis, and immediately on eblepsen, he regained his sight, and e kaluthai auto ente hado. And I think this is clearly another case where the imperfect is began to. I mean, you're not going to say was following here. And he began to follow him in the way. Now, a couple of things on that last verse. First of all, sesoken. There is evidence, plenty of evidence, in Hellenistic Greek at the time that sozo was used as a kind of a synonym for heal. Iaomai or therapoio. So it would not be surprising to find a version which would translate this as your faith has healed you. On the other hand, it is interesting that in these precise contexts, we do not have therapoio, and Jesus never says that to people. He never says your faith therapoios you. It's always sozo. So it seems to me that it is perfectly legitimate when preaching a text like this to link the physical healing with the eternal eschatological salvation and the renewal of creation which Jesus himself brings. I mean, I think that the sozo kind of pushes you in that direction. All right, then secondly, ekaluthai, third singular, imperfect indicative active from akalutheo. And then you notice, and Hank Rowald made reference to this, you'll notice how it says, and he began to follow him in the way. Now this is an interesting mark and motif, this being in the way, or the disciples followed him in the way. And you begin to understand after a while, and a person might want to say something like this preaching, that discipleship, especially in Mark, involves walking in the way of the Lord. I tried to reflect that in my chapel sermon last week, that same kind of idea, that when you're following him in the way, then what happens? Then you will conform yourself to his kind of walk, and thus Jesus had just said in verse 45 about giving his life a ransom for many, not coming to be served, but himself to serve. Okay, thanks very much.